Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, this evening our special guest is Barry Shamish, who's an investigative reporter from Israel. He worked over there for many years on a number of very important stories, including the murder of the Prime Minister, Mr. Rabin, and, of course, the fact that the man who sits in prison was not the real murderer. He was simply the patsy to cover up for the fact that the Shabbat, the Israeli intelligence agency, was behind the murder of an Israeli Prime Minister. Well, eventually, of course, things got very difficult for Barry in Israel. He was forced to come to the United States. And he's working here now, trying to bring out the fact that Israel is in very, very serious problem. In fact, there will probably be a war over there that will threaten the very survival of Israel. And the Israeli people are being betrayed by the current leaders. So without further ado, Barry Shamish, thank you so much for being with us.
All right, it's always a pleasure. And as usual, this is an unusually bad week for Israel. You know, I actually am a very optimistic person. It was a surprise. You have a great sense of humor. I like fun. But something happened. I started recording Israel. And it's, you know, it's not all that much fun. It would surprise you that I don't even like this work, actually. But let's go on. Number one, and by the way, we have two subjects today, and I'm glad we're back on the air on Thursday because these are complicated subjects. But I'm going to go in order. Order number one, Olmert is going to discuss peace with the Syrians. All of Israel is in an uproar. Well, you know, we've been through this before. This isn't the first time. Barak was going to give back the Golan. Now, allow me to remind people who don't know my work that the Rabin family, I believe the year was 2001, somehow or another, came to the conclusion that Yitzhak Rabin was murdered in a conspiracy. And I want to tell you, we thought everything was going to blow wide open over this. Now, it started when Dalia Yitzhak Rabin, Dalia Pelosov Rabin, I'm sorry, the daughter of Yitzhak Rabin, went on TV and said that there's something wrong with the story. We don't understand why Shabak agent Avishai Raviv was best friends with the murderer Yigal Amir. It doesn't make sense. What kind of a coincidence is this? Now, that's fine and good. She was kind of known as a rebel, sort of. She was clearly dissatisfied with the results of the Shamgar Commission, which investigated the Rabin assassination. But then came 9 o'clock news, and here comes her brother, Yuval Rabin, who, by the way, has left Israel. I assume will never come back. He will never come back. He lives in Dallas, last time I heard, and has moved to Washington, whatever. He's not coming back to Israel. Nonetheless, I'm watching TV, and he says on national TV, oh, I hear the music.
All right. So what did he say quickly before?
He says if there isn't another investigation, there's going to be a lot more hamishim. Shamish is my name in Hebrew in the near future.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a few minutes. Well, I think Barry's absolutely right. He has put together DVDs on this. There's no question at all that the premier of Israel was murdered by the intelligence agencies. Barry, go ahead and pick the story up.
Now, I'm getting to the Golan shortly. Now, I was shocked. I heard my name on TV from this son of Yitzhak Rabin. I was honored, actually, in a way. He was kind of mocking, but he was very complimentary in a way. He said, we have to have a reinvestigation, or there will soon be many more Chamishes. And boy, was he right. There have been at least 7 books since then, really coming up with my conclusions. I was first, but then came a book by Natan Geffen, then came a book by Michal Raz, and then came a book by David Morrison, and on and all reaching my conclusions. Now, this is what's not understood in America. In Israel, in Hebrew, there are lots of books who murdered Yitzhak Rabin. I'm not the only one. I'm one of a crowd. Now, the media, of course, has done everything to smother these books, but nonetheless, I am not the sole conspiracy theorist about the Rabin assassination. There's a bunch of us. And Yuval Rabin accurately predicted what would happen. You know, I'm thinking in my head, there was Shrak, which means fake bullets, by Ori Barkan. It's not important. The important part is he was right, that if there isn't a reinvestigation, there's going to be a lot more Chamishes in Israel. And he was dead on. But here's the big one. The next day I'm watching the evening news. It's not like America where there's a lot of evening news. This was on a show called Erev Chadash, a new evening, one of the 2 news shows on Israeli TV. Just 2. That's all there is. Leah Rabin shows up. Now, I'm watching Leah Rabin expecting to be revolted for a lot of reasons. I won't go into them, but she shocked me. The interviewer was Dan Margulies, and I'm saying this not for your American listeners. I'm saying this because you're recording it, and God help, if anything happens to me, at least you'll know the history of this. Leah Rabin tells him, now at the time, I have to, you'll excuse me for this, I have memories that keep coming up. My book, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin, was banned by a member of the Knesset named Ofer Pinas, who I eventually sued for banning my book, but she says he was too radical. And then she says Chamish should be read. I'm watching TV, and she's saying Chamish should be read?
Hold that thought right there.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and Chris. After Mary Chamish came out with his initial book on Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin? Why, then, of course, the family vindicated him, and even the widow had gone on national television in Israel, one of the 2 major channels, and said Chamish should be read. In other words, Chamish, Barry Chamish being our guest this evening, and certainly the widow of the murdered prime minister is saying people should read Barry Chamish's book, which is really probably the greatest tribute you ever got, wasn't it?
Indirectly, it was a backhanded one, but nonetheless, she said the Hebrew, Tzarich Mikro et Chamish, you've got to read Chamish. And then, well, she said, look, you can't ban this. You got to look at the evidence. All of a sudden, the Rabin assassination became public knowledge in a massive way because the mother, the daughter, and the son all demanded a reinvestigation. Now, nobody seems to know this. They seem to believe in America that this was all a conspiracy theory. That's not what was happening in Israel. In Israel, well, look, every poll, every single poll in the last 5 years, Yediot Achronot, Bakor Rishon, Besheva, most of the public accept my thesis over the government. This is very big stuff. It is not some buried conspiracy theory. It is actually a very real issue in Israel. This year, the 11th anniversary of Rabin's assassination, Yediot did a new poll. Most Jews believe me. The Arabs don't know a thing about this. but most Jews accept that I'm right, the government's wrong.
Well, that is not the government's wrong. The government was responsible for the murder, and of course that's one reason why you've had to leave Israel, isn't it, and come to America?
I left Israel because I was in hospital over a car crash. I've never caused a car crash in my life. I was maltreated in a way that is simply unspeakable. I knew I was in a hit squad. Enough was enough. I was not going to live much longer. I got scared and I ran. That's the summary. But here's the big one. This major scandal in the Israeli public was buried by then Prime Minister Ehud Barak. All of a sudden, he's going to get back to Golan. Out of nowhere, he's going to get back to Golan.
Now, wait a minute. Is Barak in power at the present time?
No, he most certainly is not.
Okay, but he's going to get back in power, isn't he?
No, he's not.
All right, well, you tell us.
Okay, he might. Okay. All right, you're right. He's running for, right now, he's running for the leadership of the Labor Party, and he might become the head of the Labor Party. Look, we're going to do something worse than Barak. Peres is about to become president of Israel. We're heading towards there. But let me just say this about Olmert, who has announced that he is negotiating. He's prepared to give back the Golan. Look, Barak had to save really the establishment of Israel. That's what he had to do. We've gone over who Barak is. We've gone over the fact that during the Lebanon War of 1982, he led 23 Israelis to their deaths. Well, more, because 5 were captured, 3 are dead. It's an ugly story. Barak is really seriously a mass murderer. And I use that phrase, I don't use it lightly. I'm talking about an incident called Sultan Yaakov, where the unit commander goes on a jeep tour. The assistant colonel, Ehud Barak, picks up the radio, looks at the map, and directs an Israeli religious armored unit into a Syrian ambush. 23 Israelis are killed trying to extricate them. Barak is extremely bad news, but let's stick with the story. Barak suddenly says he's going to give back the Golan Heights. Now, look. Now, this is not the West Bank and Gaza where all Israelis aren't involved in anger. Now, the Israeli people have been badly, badly misled. This is not the time to discuss who the establishment of Israel is. It's a very bad establishment. Neither here nor there.
Well, good for our listeners, though, who do not understand the geography. You have, of course, the Sea of Galilee, where our Lord certainly had spent a great deal of his time. And on the far side, on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, are a ring of mountains. And, of course, that leads to the Golan Heights. At the top of the mountains there, they call it the Golan Heights. And you get up on the top there, and you can just look over into Syria, and you can see Damascus in the distance. So, I mean, this is really, of course, it's a key, a strategic site. The people who control the Golan Heights, they control the pathway into Syria and Damascus. But even more than that, the people who control the Golan Heights control the Sea of Galilee. So,
exactly.
Make the story up from there.
You can see Tiberias. Forget Damascus. You can lob a grenade into northern Israel.
Right.
This is clear cut how emotional the issue is. Nonetheless, Barak announces he's going to return the Golan Heights. Now, I have a tendency to get thoughts that take us off our mark, but I will say this. And this is the last time, by the way, because I'm actually heading in a straight direction if I can do it.
you go for it, Barry.
The Rothschilds bought 20,000 acres of the Golan Heights. It belongs to the Jewish National Fund of Israel. I have proven this. And I've been proven right. Lo and behold, a whole bunch of the Golan Heights is legally Israeli anyways, and this dates from the 1890s when they bought title to the land. But let's go back to our straight line talk, and that is that Barak opened up the Golan Heights issue only to divert the public from the Rabin assassination. That, believe it or not, that was my point. I don't know how we went this way and that way, but that's my point. The Rabin family all mother, daughter, son, all demanded a reinvestigation of this complete slander against their father. He was murdered, a conspiracy. They want to know the truth. Barack opens his mouth, and there it goes. No more talk about the Rabin family. And to cover up the fact that Rabin was murdered by Shimon Peres, by the government, by the establishment, for a lot of lousy reasons, Barack orders orders. He was told to order Israel to negotiate with the Syrians over the Golan Heights.
Now, what year was this?
I believe it was 2000. Now, you may get me. I think it was 2002.
Okay,
I said 2001 before. I think it was 2002.
Okay.
Look, I've got books on this. If you want to read me, go to a website called www.lulu.com. LULU.com. Write in my name, CHAMISH. Under search, you'll find my books. This particular book is in my book, Shabtai Tzvi, Resigning from the Holocaust. But nonetheless, let's go backwards. Barack did not want to negotiate over the Golan Heights. This was told to him, we got to smother the Rabin family. They're opening their mouths up. Now, look, since then, Leah Rabin was killed, and I assure you, I spoke to two doctors from the oncology department of Ichilov Hospital. Both assured me she was maltreated, given the wrong medicine, and murdered. Both of them. Nonetheless, to cover up the Rabin murder, the Israeli Shabak, our FBI, have devoted immense amounts of their energy and talent, and they know one issue is bigger than the Rabin murder, and that is giving up the Golan Heights and letting the Syrians point their artillery all through the Galilee. And that's what they did. And, oh, my God, the energy Israelis were forced to use for nothing to save the Golan. The rallies, the organizations, the meetings, months on end, all to stop Barack from giving up the Golan Heights, and it was all to cover up the Rabin assassination. Believe it or not, this is Israel. Folks, this really actually happened. Now, the reason I'm saying this is Olmert did the same thing this week, and that means he's in big trouble, and they're covering up something else.
All right, so basically now he's talking about turning over the Golan Heights to the Syrians.
Well, who else? Look, remember something important. He's got a condition there that Syria could never, ever accept. He says, we will give the Golan Heights if you give up your relationship with Iran. That's like telling Israel, we will give you peace if you give up your relationship with America. It's so impossible and so unlikely, and nobody understands this. It can't be done. There is no threat to the Golan, but there is a cover-up. Now, what the cover-up is, I mean, with Olmert, I mean, really, what the cover-up isn't, it's probably the better question. He is so deeply incompetent that the government is covering up for endless scandals, but the point is, this is not a serious threat. Syria is not going to cut ties with Iran. It's a bluff. And this should be understood. All of Israel is up in arms over a bluff.
I do anticipate there'll be a war between Israel and Iran here sometime before the summer's over.
Well, you know, the Iranians really don't have a real beef with Israel. Oops, there we go. I hear the music.
Go right ahead.
Look, the Iranians are somehow playing the game. I want to tell you another story. In my strange life, I got an email today from Iran. Can you believe I got invited to Iran?
I would be very careful about going, but anyway, go ahead.
I wrote him back, and I said to him, this is what I wrote him. I said, you use the Turi Karta, you abuse them, they're no longer part of the Jewish community. If you invite me to Iran, note the following. One, I want Israel to survive. too, I hate the peace movement. Now, if you can
hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Right.
All right, go right ahead. Anyway, Barry Chavez has been invited to go to Iran, apparently, by some sort of a peace group in Iran.
You know what? For no one else but you would I do this. I'm walking to my computer right now. I'm going to tell you the name of the peace group. And hold on. I just turned on my... Here it is. ASRACO. The director of ASRA Human Rights Research Center in Tehran have invited me to come to Iran to lecture. Now, you know the likelihood of that is near zero, but I gave them my conditions. I said, I hate the peace movement. I don't believe there are Palestinians. If you want to accept me on those terms, fine, I'll come to Iran. That's the likelihood of Syria giving up the Golan Heights after cutting ties with Iran. Everybody's playing this game. I know they're going to use me. Okay, he starts the email, I'm very familiar with your work. If he was familiar with my work, I don't think he'd invite me to Iran.
Go ahead.
You know what? I want to say something. I might be able to do some good. You know, I mean, really. If they would actually listen to me and say that your leader is playing the New World Order game and Ahmadinejad or whatever, God may, I hate his name. It's a very hard name to remember.
I'm Ahmadinejad.
Sure, you betcha. I said, if you understand that he's playing their game, and if you understand that Khomeini was in Paris for 20 years, and if you understand that under Jimmy Carter, Iran was lost, and the French took over, fine, you know, if you want to talk the truth about what really happened, I'll come to Iran. And by the way, I don't mind, what the heck, I'll die in Iran, it's as good a place as any, I suppose. Well, nevertheless, this is my peculiar life, but the point I was making, once again, Syria is not going to abandon Iran. There is no chance that the Golan Heights being compromised. Olmert is in major trouble. Who knows why he was told to do this? It's an endless... Well, the problem is, the other side, which is a secret government, they've got the pat hand. You know, they know what they're going to play next. We don't know what they've got, but they seem to know our cards. And you can't fight someone who knows what he's got in his hand and knows what you've got in your hand.
Well, I think it's so important that people and their listeners understand that number one is that Ahmadinejad is a caricature. I mean, why in heaven's name would the leaders of Iran be doing everything they can to promote a major war which could lead to the destruction of their country? It just doesn't make sense. Even Saddam Hussein, as corrupt and evil as he was willing to negotiate with the Americans and was willing to leave the country, and they were willing to let the Americans come in and occupy the country without a war, and we've got the documentation on that from the people who were involved. And certainly our country did not want a peaceful solution. They wanted an excuse for getting to this mess we're in today. And in a similar manner, it appeared the Iranian leadership is intent upon bringing total destruction to Iran. I mean, logic would say would at least lie about, if they wanted to, lie about our nuclear weapons. They're not going to do that. They're going to insist. It's like doing everything you can to promote a war that's going to end up destroying Iran. And, well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, this is Barry Chavez. And Barry has been invited to go to Iran to discuss peace. Not that it'll accomplish anything, because everybody is playing a game. Our leaders are playing a game. Ahmadinejad is playing a game. And the people who control the government of Iran today are seem to be intent upon doing just what no logical person would want to do, and that is get into a major confrontation, war with America, that will destroy Iran and kill, I fear, millions of their people. Pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, I'm not going to dive into that. I think there's a lot of bluff going on here, but I'm going to just end this with one simple word. Don't worry, Olmert is not planning to give up the Golan. I'm not planning to go to Iran. Everything is fine, but a major, major tragedy is going to happen on Wednesday. And I got a phone call from Israel. Shimon Peres is about to become president of Israel.
Now, how will he do that? Because
the Knesset will vote him in this Wednesday.
All right. I think for our listeners, they have to understand that you have a prime minister, and then you have the president. The last president of Israel was forced out after he was accused of having either raped or had sexual intimacy with six different women.
The last two presidents.
Right.
Ezra Weissman was forced out as well.
And so basically what they're doing is forcing everybody out so they can get Peres in. Would that be right?
Yeah, you betcha. Now, Peres blew it with Weissman because Kassav won, but poor Kassav, such a dope he was. He walked into Peres' trap. Peres waited, found the moment, and got him out. Now, here is the big one. And I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to talk seriously about this. It's a subject I know too well. Get ready. Now, look, Israel has got a parliament, and many people hate Peres. Keep that in mind. There are many people who hate Peres. That's why Kassav became president. The Shas party is the party of the Moroccans. They announced, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, that they would be supporting Peres. The Shas party, the Moroccan party, I'm going to stress this for your listeners. I know it's a little foreign. It's not foreign to an Israeli, but it's foreign to you. The Moroccan party will be the difference between him becoming president or not. They have got, if I'm not mistaken, 12 seats in the Knesset. I believe they are the fourth largest.
No, these are Moroccan Jews. They're very dark-skinned Jews. But they've really always been mistreated there in Israel, haven't they?
Indeed they have, and we're going to go through that. And they're not all that dark-skinned, I'll tell you. Nonetheless, they are really looked down upon.
Right. Well, of course, but then why would they be backing Peres? He's never been their friend, has he?
Oh, my Lord. That's what I did. I spent this afternoon talking to Israel. My friend Amnon from Spot said, we got to stop it. Now, look, believe it or not, this is going to shock you. The last time Peres ran for president, I wrote a simple article. It was, Shimon Peres cannot be president of this state. And I stated all his crimes. Now, I was at a place called Kiryat Shmona. I was at a money changer, and an aide to a Knesset member said, you don't know the Belagan. He said, he's a Belagan, a Takaramta. He said, what a mess you caused with that article. People were sending it around to all their members of Knesset. You stopped Peres from becoming prime minister. They changed their vote in Shas. Now, I'm not in Israel. If I were in Israel, I would not have the same effect. Everything there is now nuts, but nonetheless, Peres, well, what can you say? President, look, the president is a very commemorative, very decorative position. Nonetheless, it was President Kassav who went to Rome to negotiate the Vatican the turnover of the Last Supper room on Mount Zion to the Vatican. He refused to do it, and that was the end of Kassav. Peres, as president, will be a thorough disaster, and the Moroccans are going to let him win. And right now, I'm going to give you what I told my friend Amnon.
Okay.
Oh, that music. I hear that music.
All right, fine. We'll just get started, and I'll catch up when I have to. Go ahead.
Look, folks, I have a book called Bye-Bye Gaza. I cannot explain this unless you read me. Go to lulu.com, write in Shamish, and you can get the book. Bye-Bye Gaza explains the amazing scandal of the Moroccan, the Sephardic rabbi, Shlomo Amar. And I'm glad the music started because, boy, it's just a long one and a hard one to explain.
Hold off. We'll be right back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Shamus, and of course, we're talking about, we're talking about Peres becoming the president of Israel. We're talking about, of course, the background of some of the many, many crimes committed by Peres during the years, and certainly Barry has witnessed those and written about them extensively in the past, and of course, he's suggesting his book, Bye Bye Gaza, which is available at Luda.com. And you really need to get Barry's books. You can either pull them down or buy the books themselves. But you need to get the information. You need to understand what's really going on. So pick the story up there, Barry.
Now, I read, for this interview, you phoned me in the morning. I didn't have much time. I had to get the information. I got two phone calls from Israel, by the way, saying, what are we going to do? But Peres, look, Shlomo Amar was the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel. This story took place in the year 2005, not very long ago. He was disgraced beyond belief, and here is the story. Now, folks, I know you don't know Israel, and I know you're going to think it's fantastic. To an Israeli, it's not fantastic. Nonetheless, here is the story. Shlomo Amar made the big, big mistake of opposing the withdrawal from Gaza or the surrender of Gush Katif. And what they did to him, Now, here is the story. He's got a daughter. His daughter was dating. It doesn't matter who the boyfriend was. One night, Mayor Amar, Shlomo Amar's estranged son, kidnaps him. I mean it. Kidnaps him with two Arabs. They take this boyfriend to an Arab village and they beat him to shreds. True story. Now, you would think after a night of beating, the boyfriend would get the idea he had better not date Mayor Amar's sister or the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, Sephardic rabbi Shlomo Amar's daughter. But they bring him back to Shlomo Amar's apartment in Jerusalem and beat him for 2 hours next to Shlomo Amar's bedroom. Now, I know it's hard to follow. Kidnapping, two Arabs, beat up the boyfriend, take him back to Jerusalem, beat him up for 2 hours in front of the chief Sephardic rabbi, the Moroccan rabbi of Israel. And suddenly, Shlomo Amar is in the middle of a scandal.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. All right, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, Barry Shamus. He's telling us about this this chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel, who was actually, his daughter was dating a gentleman that he didn't approve of, and apparently a couple of Arabs then were hired to beat up this young man. They kidnapped him, they beat him up for several hours, and they brought him back and in front of the rabbi, beat him up again. And so now the rabbi, this chief Sephardic rabbi, and the Sephardic are the Jews of North Africa. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my understanding.
You got it.
Okay,
you
fine.
Got it.
So
now,
go ahead.
Son, it's not the two Arabs. Now, look, the newspaper Haaretz reported that these Arabs were Shabak collaborators. Okay? I've got it in my book, Bye-Bye Gaza. They were Shabak collaborators. Nonetheless, by supposedly witnessing this beating up of his daughter's boyfriend, look, it's a religious community and this and that, who knows what, that he was a collaborator in the beating up of the boyfriend. This actually happened, people. It actually happened. That's how you get rid of a Moroccan who doesn't play ball with the establishment of Israel. But now get ready for a beauty. I don't know how many days afterwards, but Yediot Achronot, the biggest newspaper in Israel, reports And by the way, I found out about this report through Honey Luz. She was the media reporter for something for a newspaper called Makor Rishon. She contacted me and she said, "You won't believe what I just read from Yediot Achronot." Shimon Peres, 2 days after the beating, okay, went to the rabbi's apartment with Mayor Amar. Now, remember, I didn't bring it up, so there's nothing to remember. In short, Mayor was estranged from the rabbi for 15 years. For 15 years, they hadn't spoken. And suddenly he appears to beat up his sister's boyfriend. Shimon Peres appeared at Rav Shlomo Amar's apartment in Jerusalem with Mayor Amar, the estranged son. The estranged son pulls out a knife, puts it under his sister's throat, and says, "You mention one thing, and it goes through you." He says, "With one twist, I can kill you." This was in Yediot Achronot. Shimon Peres was in Shlomo Amar's apartment watching this threat. And guess who testified? It's not just Yediot Achronot. Yediot Achronot took the report from the police. This was Shlomo Avner's wife. The Rebbetzin of the Chief Sephardic Rabbi of Israel testified to the police that Shimon Peres showed up in her apartment with her estranged son, who threatened his sister. Now, I know this sounds nuts, and people, there's no choice. You just got to buy the book.
All right, fine. But basically what this was to discredit the chief rabbi.
And he quit.
But he wasn't in any way involved in this thing. This was just to discredit him. Is that right?
It was to set him up to quit. It was a frame-up. It was a lousy, dirty frame-up to embarrass the Moroccan community of Israel. Now, we're just starting, by the way. This is a subject which I know too much about. What can I tell you? I will get going shortly. But this is something, you know what? To get prepared for your show, I read, I glanced through half of Bible Gazette today. It's on my computer. And I was reminded of the Shlomo Amar frame-up and how they embarrassed and got rid of the Moroccan chief, the Sephardic rabbi, and how there was a direct connection to Shimon Peres, reported in Yediot Achronot, reported to Israel police by Shlomo Amar's wife. All of this really happened, and I know this sounds crazy. And of your listeners who say this can't be happening, Israel is run by the mafia. This can be happening. It happens every day in Israel. And Peres is the European head of this mafia. And I add, the Moroccan party are about to make him president of Israel. You know what? I'm coming to Denver on July 13th. I believe that's a Saturday. Don Wiedemann's Beit Messiah. And I'm going to talk about the lecture will be called The Last Days, Is This the Final War, or some version of that. But this horrible incident is just the beginning. And I'm not going to go yet to the fact that Shimon Peres was the chairman of the Israeli Atomic Energy Commission, who got 7 X-ray machines from the U.S. Army, and he zapped the Moroccan children, who were about half the Sephardim of Israel in the early years of the 1950s, with massive doses of gamma rays as I hate to use the word like a Nazi medical experiment, but why did they do that if not? They were testing radiation.
They were supposedly going to treat ringworm. These are known as the ringworm children. You can go up on the internet at Google in Yemen children or Moroccan children of ringworm X-ray, and you'll come up with this amazing story. Go ahead.
Look, I've got to tell you, someone else emailed me an amazing site, the Planck Institute, P-L-A-N-C-K Institute. God knows what, but it's connected with a a dopey professor in Haifa University who was paid to harangue me, and they exposed that my ringworm children article was all full of baloney, and it didn't really happen, and there were only 20,000 Moroccans in Israel. It's the most superficial thing you've ever read. But there's a whole site trying to expose how wrong I was. And the beauty of this site is I'm not wrong. All I did was review a movie that was shown on Israel Channel 10 television and won the Haifa Film Festival about 5 years ago. And what am I wrong about? Really, all they did was prove that I reviewed a bad movie at worst, but it was so flimsy. And you know what? In a way, I'm starting to get used to this. There was a time I didn't like criticism. I felt there were too many stupid people trying to cut me down. Now I see that it's the only way to get the word out is you need these people actually to look at who I am and that I'm not in any way, I'm not conspiratorial. They're doing the conspiracies. A conspiracy is a crime between two or more people without anyone knowing that the crime is taking place. Most crimes are conspiracies. The fact of the matter is the ringworm children really did take place, that there, I get phone calls from Israel. There's another woman from Miami who's called me lately. The fact is these people are suffering from horrible growths all over their bodies. They are dying like flies. The Knesset has acknowledged the ringworm scandal is real. There's an actual committee supposedly to compensate the victims of the ringworm scandal. It's given nothing to anybody, but the Knesset acknowledged that these x-rays did take place, and they were not for ringworm. Nobody got cured from ringworm. People, listeners, I'm not wrong very often, and when I am wrong, I admit it. Well, this stuff actually took place. Shimon Peres was the actual, he was the chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission. These were atomic experiments to see the effect of gamma rays, massive gamma rays, on an entire race of people, the Sfardim, of whom half of them were Moroccan. And their party, Shas, is about to make Peres president of Israel. That's how sick the country is. My country is very, very sick.
Barry, do you think that that there's going to be a major war over there in the next this summer?
Look, all of this is in the air. The fact of the matter is the next time there is some sort of excuse, Israel is in major trouble for missiles. I don't know what the excuse could be. They'll find an excuse. There won't be an excuse this summer. It'll be in the fall. The fact is the next time war breaks out, Israel is going to be in a terrible position, probably taking in the face 10,000 missiles on the first day of the war.
But she can't survive 10,000 missiles hitting this little tiny country. It would have a devastating effect on, the number of people. It would kill so many people. It would destroy the infrastructure of the society.
Well, Israel in the old days knew how to threaten back, but those days are over. Now there's bluffs about making peace with Syria and all this. Everything is, look, atomic Israel, nobody even mentions the word anymore. No one even cares about the nuclear option. Israel's going to go, and so on and so forth. But I don't deal with that when it happens. Look, when it happens, I'm going to be heartbroken beyond belief. If I thought about that day and night, I would never sleep, so I don't. But I'm doing what I know, which is exposing the fact that Peres is going to become president of Israel. That is a disaster for the Jewish state in ways that, well, look, let me do a little history for you. And I'm very glad for these interviews, because if anything happens to me, somebody somewhere may pull out the tapes and listen to me and when I'm not around. And by the way, that's not so hypothetical as you may think. Here's the way it happened with Shas. In 1984, Peres lost another election. he lost the election because the 600,000 Moroccan Jews wouldn't support him. He ended up in a tie with Shamir, in a victory everyone thought he was going to take, because the Moroccans can never support Peres. They know what he stands for. Now, Peres, the wise man that he is, noticed there was a new party in the Knesset, the Shas party, representing Moroccan Jews. They didn't have many seats. I think it was three or four. But he says to his compatriots, we don't have to win the Moroccan vote. He says, we will never win the Moroccan vote, but we can get the Moroccan vote under the table. We've got to corrupt Shas. We've got to get them on our side. Now, Shas was run by a rabbi. Now, his name is Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. He is the spiritual leader of the Moroccans. Now, believe it or not, he's not Moroccan. He's Iraqi. There's a reason for that. I'll talk about that shortly, in fact. But let's stick with politics, first of all. He says, we have got to get Shas in our back pocket. And by the way, this scandal was the first time I ever reported a scandal that made Israeli national news. The first time I was actually taken in private meetings by the Knesset to ask what I knew. Peres sent his cohorts, Moshe Shachal and Yossi Beilin, and they successfully corrupted Aryeh Deri. Now look, people, I know you don't know who Aryeh Deri is. In Israel, he is a major, major figure. And he was a huge figure 10 years ago before he spent a year and a half in jail for corruption. Now, he was a 23-year-old secretary of Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. He was the apple of Rabbi Ovadia Yosef's eye. And Peres sent Shachal. I'm not going to describe who he was. He's crooked. I won't go into it right now. But he says, Shachal, make Deri promises. Shachal promises to send him to law school at his expense. Beilin, Chaim Ramon, who is now, by the way, been convicted of French kissing an 18-year-old soldier, I guess he didn't play ball well enough, or he really has an inflated opinion of himself. Nonetheless, Chaim Ramon offers 23-year-old Aryeh Deri $50,000 to be a negotiator in the sale of something called Carmel Bank. They corrupted Deri. At the age of 24, he's made a head of the Interior Ministry, and get this, at the age of 25 years old. Peres uses his influence in the Shamir government. I won't explain how that works. It just does. He makes Aryeh Deri the youngest ever Minister of the Interior. That was in 1987. Now, this becomes complicated. Peres brought down the government in the year of 1990. The reason was that he chose, it was the Baker Plan. James Baker and Peres worked together to bring down the Shamir government, of which Peres was the financial minister. He was the Minister of Finance. Yossi Beilin was the deputy. They got Beilin. They got Deri. And they blackmailed him. And here's how I found out how they did. I interviewed two major politicians in Israel, both dead today. Shmuel Meir and Arnonia Katrieli. They were deputy ministers. They were deputy mayors of Jerusalem. They both told me the same story, how Deri forced Israeli schools to kick back money to the Shas party, or they would not get funds from the government to continue operating. I reported this. Deri was the reason why the government fell in the year of 1990. Dairy promised Peres that he would fell the Shamir government, and he did. Peres found a reason for a motion of no confidence. Shamir did not support the Baker Agreement. Baker and Mubarak of Egypt signed an agreement, a five-point agreement, that put Jerusalem up for negotiations. Shamir says it's a joke. I could never support this. Peres says you have to support it. We're going to bring down the government. And this is a member of the government, no less. He's a finance minister. And to everyone's surprise, the government falls because Dairy and the Shas party did not support Shamir. This is real history, folks. I know it's complicated. I know you can't follow it. To me, it's like breathing. But after 88 days, Peres could not put together a government. No one would support him. And he went crazy against Dairy. This is the beginning of what known, by the way, in very big Israeli historical terms, as the Dairy scandal.
All right, hold up. We'll be back here in just a minute to wrap up our program this evening.
Oh, boy, we haven't got started yet.
All right. Well, Barry, next thing we want to do, let's get your website out and how people can get more information.
The BarryChalmersWebsite.com or go to BarryChalmers.net. BarryChalmers.net. It'll get you to my website. And I'm with you on Thursday night, and we will do how Peres, who is about to be supported by Shas, he's about to become president of Israel because of these Moroccans, hates the Moroccans, and has been conspiring against them for years, and there is so much to tell.
But why are the Moroccans supporting Peres when he's obviously betrayed them in the past?
Because he's blackmailed them. And this is the point I was going to make with the Dairy scandal. Dairy was head of the Shas party. He went to jail for a year and a half. Peres said to his cohorts, we can't get the Moroccans to vote for us. They hate me. Well, we can get their party, Shas, to support me. They're supporting him all the way to the presidency, or God help them.
Well, it's a tragic situation that they have over in Israel today, and it sounds like, of course, Peres is really has no loyalty at all to Israel or its survival, but only to his own career.
Yeah, but he's going to be at age 85, the president, thanks to the Moroccans.
Right. Well, we live in a world gone bad, and I'm very, very concerned about the future of Israel. You know, that another major war over there could very well completely destroy the infrastructure of that little country.
Israel has turned to Sodom. Israel should be really the New Jerusalem. It's turned into Sodom. And Peres is a big, big reason for that.
And, of course, what you're really referring to is these gay parades that they are
Oh, you want to talk about that?
I wish we had the time, Barry, but we're just about out of time.
I'll hear from you on Thursday night, and we'll do the rest of Peres and the Moroccans.
All right, fine. We'll look forward to it, Barry.
Great interview. We'll speak to you then.
Good night.
And this, night, all.
Our guest has been Barry Chalmers. Always a pleasure here. And you really need to get his books to read them to understand so much of the message. But Barry has lived this incredible, incredible story for many, many years. He's certainly one of the leading investigative reporters there in Israel, and we're indebted to him for being willing to come on and share his expertise, his knowledge with us. And hopefully we're going to have many of these tape sets available for you so that you can begin to understand what happened to Israel and why it was lost. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We hope many of you have enjoyed our interviews with Barry Chalmers. When you get used to talking to Barry and you begin to know the personalities and the terms, you begin to see this constant pattern of betrayal of Israel from its own leadership. I think we're on the verge of a major confrontation, a major war in the Middle East, and we're going to have disastrous consequences, not only for Israel, but for the United States as well. So we'll put together some of the stories that Barry has told us. You can go to his website at barryshamish.com. Get his material. You can go to lulu.com and get his books. You will learn so much about what's going on over there. Because Israel's certainly needs an investigative reporter like Barry Shamish, who has written extensively about the things that are going on over there. And we're very fortunate to have him be willing to come on to Radio Liberty. Now, how do we begin to understand what's really going on in the Middle East today? I mean, we went into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden. We let him escape, and now we're still fighting over there, and we're fighting the wicked Taliban. But if you go into the background of the Taliban, we financed them at the very beginning. You go back and read books like Unholy Wars, written in 1999 by James Cooley, foreign correspondent for Christian Science Monitor. He'll tell you the United States was instrumental in creating and financing the Taliban. So why are we fighting him today? And why have we been fighting for so long in Iraq, and we've never been allowed to win the war? Our boys are courageous. They're doing the very best they can. But it's Vietnam all over again. Another war, another no-win war. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that if you want to understand so much of this, you want to get our story. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story. It's the story of all of the wars of the last century and then leading up to where we are today. It comes in DVD or VHS, but the major thing is that you can get a syllabus along with it. The syllabus has all the documentation for the things we talk about. That's Iraq, the Untold Story, the DVD or VHS, and, of course, the syllabus that verifies what we're talking about. Then, of course, we have the DVD, Forbidden Secret. That's Forbidden Secret. It's the story of this satanic movement. It really is a satanic movement going all the way back to the time of Nimrod and the secret societies that it generated. And the fact that, of course, it has always been aimed at creating a one-world government. That's what Nimrod wanted. That's what Alexander the Great wanted. That's what the leaders of both political parties today want. That's what this whole immigration issue is all about. And, of course, that's why they want to make all the illegal aliens citizens of the United States. It is a continuation of this secret plan. And this is where the Forbidden Secret is available in DVD or VHS. And it comes with an excellent syllabus that will help you understand when President Bush talks about the angel that rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm, and referred to it twice in his first inaugural address. Not one person in 10,000 in America had any idea what he was talking about. Who is the angel who rides in the whirlwind? What was the president talking about? And you'll actually, in the syllabus, we've reproduced the president's speeches, so you'll have them there to refer to and begin to understand their forces at work in our society that very few people understand. My talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the Forbidden Secret will introduce you to a whole different world. Chris Pinto's videos on the secret mysteries of America's beginning, and then, of course, ripples in stone, riddles in stone, the secret history of the architecture of America's capital. There was a secret destiny that was laid out by some of the founders of our country who were not Christians. Most of the founders of our country were Christians, but there are those who were not, who had an entirely different agenda. America one day was to rule the world. We were to have a great empire. We were to have our troops stationed all over the world. Well, our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. If you'd like a free newsletter or a free catalog, just give us a call, and we'd be glad to get them for you.